May the 11th is the local food drive where you take food and you put it at your mailbox and the postal carrier picks it up. And our food bank is the recipient of that. So anybody who wants to help can help us gather up food at the post office after it's all gathered up and take it to the food bank. And that's one of the ways that we can be like Jesus, is by helping the poor. So if you would like to participate in that, you're certainly welcome to do so. This morning, if you filled out an anonymous 3 points about what opportunities that you see in the future that we could be doing in order to fulfill the Great Commission, we're very interested in what you write down. If you didn't get to put yours in the offering plate, just leave it on the Welcome Center before you leave, or get on the website and fill it out on the website, ourbeulah.com. Let's bow our heads. But let's stand together and pray. Lord Jesus, we are a peculiar people because you said we are. And you're a peculiar God too, because there's none like you. Many false gods have been presented to the world, but there's only one true God. And Lord, none of those gods are like you. They're dumb, unspeakable, uncreative. And I pray, Lord, that we will understand better today the God that we serve. We love you. And we love you for one reason, Lord. You loved us first. We did not generate it or initiate it, but we have responded to it, Lord. And for that, we are giving thanks again this morning. Thank you for the people that are here today. I know, Lord, that it's always a divine appointment when people come and listen to the Word of God. So I pray this morning, Heavenly Father, that you will open hearts, especially mine. Open minds, especially mine. And I admit, Lord, that I'm the greatest rebel in the group. But thank you, Lord, that you're taming rebel hearts and you're drawing people to you. You woo us, Lord, to yourself by means of the Holy Spirit. This is a gracious thing that you do, Lord, and we bow low before you with great thanksgiving because you have done this marvelous thing. Now I pray, Lord, as we look into your word and we look into the future of Beulah today, that you will direct our hearts, that you will put us in a position, Lord, where you can bless us, because surely you want to bless us. We know, Lord, from reading your word that you do not withhold your blessings from your people who follow you. But you get quite excited about people following you. But in the history of the world, Lord, we know over and over again that our great-great-great-grandparents, our ancestors, they started out being blessed people, but they ended up disobeying you. Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, and their generation down to Noah. And generation after generation, Lord, it was proven that even though you wanted to bless your people, Lord, and you started out blessing your people in every age, it is the nature of rebels to wander away from you. And as a result, Lord, those people put themselves out of position to be blessed by you. So it's my endeavor this morning, Lord, with your grace, to instruct your people from your word about what you say about who can be blessed. For Lord, it is your will that you bless your people, and you have said that many times and in many ways over and over. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes, open our ears, Lord, and help us to understand that there are conditions by which you can bless your people. So, Lord, give it to us today, we pray, to the end that the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. May be seated. And thank you again for participating in our survey. I want to thank the people who participated on Good Friday praying for the mission people who are going to Italy next month. I know many of you helped us in that 24-hour period, round robin prayer time, where we prayed and fasted. And so for those of you who participated, thank you very much. We covet your prayers continually. We want to reach a lot of little Muslim boys and girls when we go to Italy. And so we hope that you will continue to pray for us. If you will, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 29:11. Some of you have probably memorized this verse and you already know it because it's an extremely popular verse in the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Now, I want to begin this morning with the realization and the recognition that the past for Beulah is past. We can't change the past. There's nothing we can do to change the past, just like our individual lives. The past is the past. What we do have is right now and the future. And I am praying through this summer that the Lord bless the people of Beulah. Bless us with your direction, Lord. Show us your way and put us in a position, as you just heard me pray again, put us in a position, Lord, where you can use us, where you can bless us and work among us. We cannot assume that God automatically blesses people no matter how they live or what they think or what they do. It's quite conditional. God told the people under Moses, God delivered them out of slavery, out of Egypt. They wandered around in the wilderness because they didn't want to follow God's directions. And as a result, they had a very difficult time. Many churches today are wandering around in the wilderness. Many people are wandering around in the wilderness because they don't think it matters how they live, what they think, or whether or not they follow God. The Lord has been very direct in the Word of God as to whom He can bless. And this morning, that's really my intent to deliver to you this morning. We'll be talking about a number of subjects over the next few weeks. But today I want to begin talking about prayer and doing God's will. There are essentially two ways to pray. The first way to pray sounds something like this. God, I have plans for you and for me, and I want you to bless my plans. This is a very common way to pray. Matter of fact, probably most Christians pray that way. The book of James says that may be amount to praying amiss or praying wrongly. What's wrong with praying that way? It's a common prayer practice. But let me show you the contrast. There's the prayer that says, Lord God over all, please show me your ways and your plans and give me the strength and the wisdom to follow you. And then we get up off our knees and we sing as we go along, where he leads me, I will follow. Do you understand the contrast to those two methods of praying? One says, I have plans and I want God to bless it. The second says, what are God's plans? I'm going to do it. I know he'll bless it. The text today from Jeremiah 29:11 goes like this. The Lord says, I know what I have planned for you. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope. Now, aren't those encouraging words? But you see, what is unique about that approach to prayer is that we identify what God's will is, and then we do it, anticipating that He will bless it and give us hope for the future. The children of Israel found themselves dwindled down to a small remnant compared to what they were at one time. They lost their homeland. Their homeland was called the Promised Land. Sometimes it's called Beulah Land, which we should appreciate. They had decided to be like other nations and other people instead of being God's peculiar people as he demanded from them. Well, he has given them things to do that made them a different kind of people. And he let them have their own way when they decided they wanted to be unlike what he said, rather to be like other churches were, or other nations were, or other people groups were. You see, God doesn't want us to say, well, what is your neighbor doing, or what's the church down the street doing? What God wants is for us to follow his directions that he's given to us. And he's been very clear. As a result of Israel wandering away from God, God let them have their own way. You do know that about God, don't you? He will let you make your own plans. He will let you have your own way. He will allow you to stray as far as you wish. But it will be to your own demise. And in every illustration that you have in the Scriptures where God told people, I want you to do this so I can bless you, they wander off and do something else. And he said, well, if that's what you want to do, he let them do that. And as a result, they suffered greatly. Now, we know this is true from our own lives. We know how this is true, where we make mistakes. We wander from God, and all this time that we're wandering away, we feel so alienated from God. We find out that things aren't going well. Our families are not thriving in that kind of atmosphere, and that we're spiritually starving. Well, that's what happened to the people of Israel. And as a result, these people that God is talking to in Jeremiah chapter 29, they now lived as refugees in a foreign land, in a refugee camp, far away from their homeland and living among foreigners. And that's because they had their own plans and they wanted to go their own way. And then they wanted God to say, God bless us anyway. It doesn't work like that. If you've strayed away from God, it's very simple what we are to do as a church even. Repent. Listen to what God says. Change our minds and then begin following God. And he will instantly forgive us. That's the way God is. God's not like you. It's hard for you to forgive when you really get hurt deeply, isn't it? It's tough. It really hurts. It's hard to just forgive someone just because they repent. But it's not hard for God. That's exactly how he is. And the instant that you repent, God will start over with you and you hit the reset button. Isn't it wonderful that we have a God like that? I'm glad he's not like me. I'm glad he's not like my wife. I mean, I'm glad that he's... While this small remnant that I've just referring to, these Jews, they were once hundreds of thousands of people populating the land of Israel, the promised land, the size of the state of New Jersey. But now they were squatters in Babylon, 900 miles away from home and no way to get back. And then they heard God say these words to them in that place, in this difficult situation. I know what I have planned for you. I have plans to prosper you. I love it that God didn't give them the silent treatment. Here they are in their destitute situation, in the desperate time of life. And God bends over and whispers to them, I have plans for you, even in your current state of destruction. I have plans to prosper you. I have plans not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope. You see, it's like the human heart to try to crush people when they are guilty and they've offended us. But God's not like this at all. He's quick to forgive. And God saw them in this destitute situation, and He says to them, I have plans for you, and they're wonderful plans. You know, it's hard when you're down and everything has happened and you're suspicious that God's against you. You know, God doesn't want to be against you. It is not God who left. It is we as local churches sometimes leave God. He's given us instructions what to do. Why don't we do it? Same in our individual lives and in our families. They ended up where they were as a result of following their own plans. But God sends Jeremiah with a message of truth and hope. Now, I'm going to take up Jeremiah 29:11 that I've read to you twice so far. And I'm going to try to explain it in terms that will benefit us as a congregation. I'm going to give this challenge to you from God's Word and show you and demonstrate how it is that God wants to do the very same thing for us that He told the children of Israel who were in captivity, slaves under the Babylonians. My message today is for the Beulah church family. I want to tell you again, lest you have not heard it clearly. I know I have plans for you, says the Lord. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope. Do you need hope? We all need hope, don't we? It's the stuff that tomorrow is made of if we're going to show up. God's best for us, God's very best for each one of us, is His plan. God has a wonderful plan for your life. It's true. God has a wonderful plan for the church. God has a wonderful plan for each individual local church, and God has a wonderful plan for your life too. This is the true meaning of Jeremiah 29:11. God's best is not in the hearts of people. God's best is in His plans. God's best is found in what God knows. Does God know your future? Yeah. Does God know how many hairs are on your head? Yeah, He does. Does God know what's going to happen tomorrow? Do you? Then why do we walk away from God and make our own plans? And then we say to God, now God, we want you to bless our life now that we've chosen to do this. You see, this is very common in the Christian life. God says, I know the future and I know my plans. I know the outcomes before you even start on the way. But God's best is not necessarily taken up by His children. And sad to say, God's best often is neglected by church families. And they come up with their own plans and their own organization and their own way of doing things that makes them unique, no matter what God says. And then they pray as a congregation, God bless us, and wonder why He doesn't. God's best will not be awarded to wayward children. God wants His best for His children, but the stress must be on His plans, not my prosperity. This is a very common verse for prosperity preachers to preach. You know, the ones on TV. They'll quote this verse and then they'll say, God wants to give you everything you want and God's going to give you hope and He's going to give you everything you ask for. That's not what this verse is teaching. This verse is saying, follow God and He will lead you. God is not Santa Claus. And we pray like He is. And sad to say, we tend to teach our children to pray like that. We have certain things we want and we give God our list and say, okay, God, it's your turn. You do the blessing now. And what we ought to be doing is saying, God, what do you want me to do today? What is it that you want in my life today? What is it that you want me to do in my family? What is it you want, Lord? Not what do I want? What do you want, Lord? And because we tend not to read the Bible much and we're illiterate when it comes to God's direction, then we don't know. God is constantly said to His children, Trust in me with all your heart and follow me, and I will make your paths straight. There are many verses in the Bible that teach us this principle. Trust me with all your heart. Trust my plans. Trust my way. Because God's way is very different than what we would come up with. God's best is conditioned on us following His heart explicitly. And when the children of God stood on the beach at the edge of the Red Sea, Moses, right there with his feet in the water, God gave them His best by opening the Red Sea. And when He said, "Walk on the dry seabed," they experienced His best. Because God chose to be the leader, and God told them what to do, and God provided the miracle, and they followed. Now that is the recipe for being blessed by God. Now what if they had walked halfway across the Red Sea on the dry bed, and they decided to wander off and just go left in the middle of that? Well, that would have been disaster, wouldn't it? God has His best path for each one of us. God has His best way. It's His plans that are emphasized in the book of Jeremiah. We cannot assume that we will automatically get God's best on any path, on just any path. He has a path. The emphasis must be on obedience to His plans, not my plans, not what it is I would like to do. This is a hard message to hear for the me generation. We live in the me generation. We have sub-generations here, but we all tend to be in this generation where it's what I want that matters. Okay, God, this is what I want. Now you bless it. And that's not how it works with God. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. God has always planned doing His very best for mankind. God loves doing His wonderful works in our behalf. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, says the purpose of the Old Testament. You know what the purpose of the Old Testament for us in the New Testament period is? Well, one of the purposes is, and God makes this clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 11, the Old Testament was not written to us. The Old Testament was written for us. We didn't live in the Old Testament period. We didn't receive the law when Moses came down off Mount Sinai. And all the other things that happened in the Old Testament were not to us, but they were for our instruction. And by reading it and seeing how God thinks and lives and operates, then we can know more about God. And that's why Jeremiah chapter 29 is so important. Because we can look at that verse and we see several things about God that we must know. He wants to show us what happens when people think rightly or wrongly about Him. What happened to Israel many times. He wants to show us what kind of person that God is. He wants to show us that there are real consequences for obedience and there are real consequences for disobedience. And if we choose to live in God's favor when we obey, or we can defy God and go our own way, the results of that is up to us because God wants to bless us. Why did God give us true history in the Old Testament? Why did God go to all that trouble to give us all that writing in the Old Testament? The Old Testament's a long book. Why did God do that? For our learning. So we can learn what God's like. And so we can understand that God is serious about what He says. And so that we can see that God loves to bless His people. There are several things that we can learn. The example of Adam and Eve. God gave them something to do. He gave them great hope. He gave them great blessings, and they blew it. And if you go through history, whether you're in the period of Moses or the period of Adam or the period of David, over and over again, the Old Testament shows us what happens when people don't follow God's instruction. Now, that's true of the church too. Very much true of the church. You know, God told us how to operate the church. God told us how to live. God told us what we ought to do. God told us how to worship. This series that I'm embarking on has the intent of revisiting what it is that God told the New Testament church to do. And we're going to look intently upon that in the weeks ahead. Now, Beulah Church, here we are with the same question that those people in the Old Testament had. And we have the choice to follow God too. Or we have the choice to just go our own way and say, God, rubber stamp what it is that I want to do. And we will find out that that's not a pleasant way to live. God knows His plans for His people. And God has a specific will for us, individually and as a church family. God plans to prosper us, His people, to accomplish His great commission. God didn't stutter. We know exactly what God wants us to do and how He wants us to do it. But it's to our benefit if we make sure and we check that we're doing it His way and what He said to do. Many churches are simply civic clubs. People come, they put some money in the offering plate, they form their club and they organize, and they're running it like a club. Hey folks, we're not a club. We're the church of Jesus Christ, and He told us exactly what to do and why we exist. And that's what we're going to do. And we're going to visit that. God is working to give His people hope and a special future. But again, we forfeit God's best when we just determine among ourselves we're going to do church our way. And then we're surprised if it's not going well. Many churches go through cycles where they do well for a while and then they don't do well and then they die. Maybe that's because they're not following the Lord. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and all the other things in your life are going to work out. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and all these other things will be added to you, He said. So our priorities have to line up with God's priorities. And God will bless us, and indeed He wants to bless us if we're willing to follow Him. Now this message was to the exiles in slavery in Babylon, who wanted to go their own way and they wanted to be like the other nations, and they experienced the same thing that the prodigal son experienced. They ended up with the pigs. The historic setting of Babylon is in Babylon 600 years before Christ. And Israel had been given favored status by God. He said, you're going to be my special people and I'm going to show the world through you how I bless my people. But you see, they threw a monkey wrench into it when they decided that they were just going to go their own way and expect God to bless them. They did not want to follow God's heart in faith and love. They thought it was more exciting to be like the world, to strive after the same things the world strives after. And as a result, it was to their demise. Even though God had given them several warnings. So a remnant was taken into slavery, into Babylon, and moved into a refugee camp 900 miles away from Jerusalem. Jeremiah had been warning them. As a matter of fact, specifically, Jeremiah has been preaching to them for 23 years about what's about to happen. And he told them over and over again, you need to turn around, you need to follow God. God said to do this. They said, oh, we're going to be like other nations. We're going to do what we want to do. We don't want to be out of step with our culture. Well, they synchronized with their culture and broke spirit with God. And as a result, they ended up in slavery. And that's the same thing happens to us in our individual lives as well. Now, in microcosm, God is working in and among us just as surely as he did in the nation of Israel. We too are God's children just as much as they were God's children. And we too are the object of God's love. Matter of fact, God never stops loving us. I tell the little kids on the soccer field, the first time I said this to them, I said, God loves you when you're sad, right? Yes, God loves you when you're sad. And God loves you when you're asleep. Yes, God loves you when you're asleep. And I said, God loves you when you're bad too. And they go, they're not sure about the answer to that one. You should be sure. God always loves you. Always. God loves you so much that if you instantly change your mind and begin to follow the Lord and you haven't been, He'll forgive you right there on the spot. He always loves you, and he always loves Israel, and he always has. We too are the object of God's love, and God has plans for us. God's children in every age and in every place have started out with God's blessing. God always initiated every new age by telling them, I want you to do this, I want to bless you, and I'm going to bless you immeasurably. You won't believe how good it is. They don't get halfway through their history till they wander off from God. We know what that's like, don't we? We've experienced that ourselves. Beulah has had its ups and downs through its history. Beulah Church, now 182 years old, has quite a history. Unusual, actually. From the time of our white building was built in 1837, that still stands on our property near here, at one time, that building stood on the bank of the Ohio River where the locks now are. And some of you probably realize who have been here for a while that white building was moved into the place that it is now by mules and round logs and ended up in that place in 1861. God's children have known God to be faithful. God is always faithful. God is always loving. And not only was Beulah Baptist Church founded in 1837, just across the river was another founding the same year. And that institution is called Marshall University, 1837. 10 years ago, our church family bottomed out. We were like the people in Babylon. Just a remnant was left. 5 or 6 people. The church declined and declined, and it's not up to me to judge why it declined, but I know that God wants to bless his church. But we have to check ourselves occasionally to make sure we're doing what God wants rather than what we want, because we could end up being 5 or 6 people pretty easily. At one time, in the 1940s and 1950s, Beulah Baptist Church was the largest church in the Rome-Proctorville area. Ten years ago, it was the smallest church in the Rome-Proctorville area. And you see, the same thing that happened to Israel can happen to us, has happened to us. We don't want to repeat it. And that's the purpose of this series, is for us to consider, are we following God, or we expect him to follow us? I'm telling you, my friends, the Bible is very explicit, directive about how to follow him. And we're going to be examining that. Now, God has not changed. And just as he wanted to bless his people in the days of Jeremiah, he wants to bless Beulah today. And even when Israel was in captivity in Babylon, God sent hope to them with those words, I know I have plans for you. I have planned for you. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a future with great hope. We have the same message. And God said to the Israelites, now you see where you have been planted. I want you to settle here. Now, this is very insightful to me. In the same passage where God planted them in a refugee camp in a foreign land in a place where they did not understand the language and they did not appreciate the culture, here's what God told them to do. Listen carefully. I want you to build houses and I want you to settle down right where you are. I want you to plant gardens and I want you to eat the produce. I want you to marry and have sons and daughters right there where you are. I want you to find wives for your sons and allow your daughters to get married so that they too can have sons and daughters. Grow in number. Do not dwindle away. Work to see that the city where I sent you as exiles enjoys peace and prosperity. Pray to the Lord for it, for as it prospers, you will prosper. Which is another way of saying, bloom where you're planted. God has put us in this place. This is not an accident. God has put us in this community. It is His work. It is His blessing that will happen if we follow Him. Our Father knows best. That is not in question. What is in question is, will we follow God explicitly to do what He said to do? You know that song, don't you? Where He leads, I will follow. You know that song? Beulah is in a new dispensation, a new time, a new era, blessed by God's way. And in this series, we're going to look at God's explicit paths for the church. We must not look at what other churches are doing. That's not the place to look. We must not look at what the world is doing or what our culture is doing. That's not what God wants us to do. We are called to trust Him and obey Him and listen for His directions for the church. God's very best is reserved for those who believe Him when He talks, for those who trust Him when He shows His plan to them, and to follow Him explicitly. Now I say to you, when Israel looked at others, they failed God and they failed themselves. When they wanted to do it their way, ingenious as they thought they were, they failed God and they failed themselves. So what I'm asking today is, let's learn from what God gave us to learn from the New Testament scriptures of what the church ought to be. Let's do church God's way. May God give us the grace and the wisdom to know it. Will you sing with me, "Where He Leads, I Will Follow"? Can we make that commitment to the Lord, sing it to the Lord this morning? Let's stand and sing together. You'll see the words there on the screen. And let's sing this as a prayer to the Lord, that we will follow the Lord. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow, follow me. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. I'll go with Him all the way. It is never my intent to embarrass anyone, but I do need to ask this question. Do you mean what you just prayed? You may be challenged by things in the future that you never thought about before, but if God says something, will you obey it? Amen. If God challenges us about what we're doing or how we're doing it, will you listen to God? I want you to bow your head, and I want you to demonstrate by raising your hand, "I meant what I prayed." Who will raise their hand? "I meant what I prayed. I will follow what God says." Lord, thank You for the testimony I see across this congregation. Give us wisdom, Lord, and show us the way. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.